Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
This really is family. It really is. We love you guys so much. I was driving through Ithaca this morning and I was saying, wow, God's plan is amazing. You know, my parents went to Cornell. They met at a prayer meeting at the Methodist Church in Ithaca. And I said, this is how the whole thing started. And this is why I was drawn here. And it's just such a privilege to be with you guys today. I was glad that we were talking about Peter because that's what I'm preaching on today. And going to have some copies of my book out back here. Now is the time. You know, when you look at the media, you can get depressed. But this is all about what God's doing in this hour. Signs of the third great awakening that are arising in our midst. There's some exciting things happening. And I wanted to just share with you about it. I had a dream around Easter time of three powerful winds blowing through our nation. And the first one blew through at Asbury College in February. Over 200 colleges have been affected by that revival. And so God is on the move in colleges and universities, especially right now. Go, Cornell. Fire of God. Yeah, we're ready. And the second one, I believe, was in August. Chuck Pierce came to Scranton. I actually had a vision of a veil over the Northeast and a glory shaft coming down over Scranton and then other cities. And then Chuck Pierce got up that night and showed the same picture on the screen. And I believe that it is happening. Glory is starting to evade our cities. There's a movement that's starting. That same weekend, there was a 80-mile wind that blew through our area, and a tornado happened right near here. So there was definitely a second wind that happened. The third wind, I believe, is happening this fall. September, October, we're going to see some new move of God. And I'm excited to see what it's going to be. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. So these books are available out back. Somebody will help you with that. Amen. So I'll give one to you. And we're going to look in 2 Peter today. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm calling this When Jesus Reveals Himself. When Jesus Reveals Himself. And, you know, this book of 2 Peter was written right before he died. He said, Jesus told me I was about ready to depart from this life. And so this is like he's an old man and he's looking back over his life, sort of like me this year, you know, turning 70, reminiscing, you know, about things. But anyway, I think he was reminiscing about his encounters with the Lord. And it was pretty exciting about his encounters. He was actually a disciple of John the Baptist, along with his brother Andrew, and also James and John. If you look through the book of John, they were following John the Baptist, still doing their fisherman business, but then John pointed them to Jesus. Here's the Lamb of God. And so they started hanging around with Jesus, going to his house and stuff, but still doing their fishing business and all that. But then came a day, Mark chapter 2, where it changed. Jesus began to reveal himself to Peter as to who he really was. And of course, Jesus is a carpenter. I mean, you know, so that's, and he's from Nazareth, you know. And so they're not quite sure about this guy. He's a guru. He's a rabbi, good teacher, doing miracles and stuff, but they're not so sure. But then this particular day, he's teaching by the Sea of Galilee. And Peter had been fishing all night, hadn't caught a thing. And so then he gets in the boat and Jesus says, go out and let your net down again. And he's thinking, he's a carpenter. What does he know? You know, you don't fish in the daytime with nets anyways. But he says, oh, okay, let's give it a try. They go out there and the entire net is filled to the point where the boat is sinking. And Peter falls down and says, I'm a sinner. Get away from me. Like, who are you? And he just said, Peter, follow me, follow me. And so he dropped his nets, him and his brother, and they just say, well, let's go for a ride. Let's see what's going on here with Jesus. That's where the action is. And they go across the sea that very day. And it says that Jesus fell asleep in the boat, but in the midst of it, a great big storm came up, and it looked like they were all going to sink. And they were in crisis for their lives. And they wake up Jesus, and he stands up and says, "Peace be still," and the entire storm stops. So they're saying, "Who is this man? Who is this man that can command the wind and the waves?" And so for 3 years, they followed him, and they saw miracles. They saw all these things happen. Not your average rabbi, you know. And he was starting to make these claims that were pretty outlandish. And finally, Jesus takes them to the darkest place in Israel. It was on Mount Hermon in Caesarea Philippi, where the Temple of Pan was, and the literal gates of hell were there. The gates of hell is where the Jordan River flew out of. And this is where Jesus chose to take them for a retreat. And there, at the gates of hell, Jesus says to them, "Who do you think I am? You know, am I a poet? Am I a magician? I do tricks with fish and bread. You know, who am I? Am I a politician? I can get a movement going." But Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah." And Jesus said, "The Father has revealed this to you." This is a revelation. There's an unveiling that you're seeing of who I really am. And Peter's life, you know, was changed really from that point on. Let's take a look in 2 Peter and see what he's saying. He's here speaking to other Christians, to other believers. And this is his last letter that he sent from Rome. He said, This letter is from Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to those that have been given a faith as equally precious as ours. How did we get this faith? Through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Uh-oh, he says Jesus is God. That's quite a revelation. That's quite a revealing that Peter got. That's quite an amazing statement right there. May grace and perfect peace cascade over you. In other words, it's nothing that we earn, nothing that we can do to make us our holiness in ourselves. We can't make ourselves holy, but it's the grace of God, and what Jesus has done for us has been cascading over us. Now, here's a shocking statement, verse 3. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us. When you were born again, you got it all. When you got a new life in Jesus, Jesus is living inside of you. God is living inside of you. What else do you need? Hello. There's nothing you can add to that holiness. Nothing you can add to that righteousness. If you have Jesus, you got it all. And it says this relationship of holiness has been lavished on you. How? How do we get it? By knowing him. It's all about relationship. It's all about relationship with this Jesus. Knowing him, the one who called us by our name. There comes a time where he calls us by his name. And I love in The Chosen where, you know, Mary Magdalene, she was actually called Lilith during the time where she was demon-possessed. And in The Chosen, it actually shows her trying to get drunk again, and trying to deal with things. And Jesus walks into the bar. That's what he does. And he goes to wherever we are in our hurting condition. And he just looks at her and said, "This is not who you are." And, you know, people are calling her Lilith, you know. And so she runs out, and he goes out after her and says, "Mary, that's your name. I have chosen you. Before you were formed, I knew you and I called you by name." And I love that scene. She turns around, just starts weeping, and goes and hugs him because he knows who we really are. And when he reveals himself to us, we're never going to be the same. He calls us by name and he invites us to come to him. Jesus revealing himself to us. And it says here in verse 3, it says, he invites us to him through his goodness and a revealing of his glory. He begins to reveal his glory to us. What is glory? Well, Tom helped me understand this because you were talking about in the original Hebrew, it talks about the weight of silver. The amount of weight of silver is the amount of glory that you would have as far as money was concerned. So it also means value or beauty or preciousness or also splendor and majesty. Our eyes get open and we start seeing the value of Jesus. We start seeing who he really is, his preciousness to us. Because when he was walking around, he was veiled in flesh and he was hiding his glory. But he revealed it at certain times and certain places. And it's the same with us in the sense that there's times when he reveals his glory to us and we see him for who he really is. Let me give you a few scriptures about glory. It says in Hebrews 1:3, the Son of God is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor. Think about that. The exact image of the Father's nature. He holds the universe together. Woo, it's quite a statement. You know, they've studied in molecules, there's actually a part in the middle of a molecule that looks like a cross. The cross actually holds our bodies together. Isn't that amazing? It also says here that he expands the universe by his word. Physicists cannot understand how a little anomaly less than the head of a pin became the universe. And they can't understand why it's expanding. They haven't mathematically figured that out. The answer is right here. He expands the universe by his word. Wow. And 1 Corinthians 2:7, this is even more mind-blowing. Paul said, and Jesus had a secret plan in his mystery to bring all his sons and daughters into that same glory. Just turn to your neighbor and said, he's got a plan for us. And guess what? It's not all when we get to heaven. We're actually going from glory to glory right now. So just say to your neighbor, I'm not just human. I'm a citizen of heaven right now. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so verse 4, this is the one we're going to kind of really zero in on. It says, as a result of all this, he has given us magnificent promises beyond all price, and through these promises, we become partakers of the divine nature. That's why I'm saying we're not just human. We can become partakers of his divine nature through his promises. What's his promises? Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You have life now if you believe. Wow. And it also says in 1 John 5, he that has the Son has life. And he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things were written unto you that you may know without a doubt that you have eternal life. Wow, I love that scripture. I've never been afraid of death ever since I got that. And ever since I knew that Jesus loved me and he died for me and he came into my heart. So let's flip over to verse 16. And this will kind of blow your mind. This was part of Peter's testimony, what he believed in. Because how many of you know Peter was very human? The guy had issues. Guy had a lot of issues, yeah. He kind of just moved on his impulse, whatever, you know, was happening. But he says this, we were not retelling some masterful crafted legend when we informed you of the power and appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we saw him, his magnificence and splendor unveiled before our very eyes. Nobody can talk me out of this, he says. Yes, Father God lavished on him radiant glory and honor when his distinct voice spoke out of the realm of majestic glory. Peter, James, and John were on top of this mountain with Jesus. And all of a sudden, an episkiazo happened. You all know what that is, right? An episkiazo happened to them. This is a Greek word that means a cloud. A cloud of glory overshadowed them. And it says, out of the cloud, God the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, marked by my love. All of my delight is in him. He's everything to me. And so this was a voice at heaven that Peter heard, and he saw Jesus glowing like the sun in his glory. It was something that he never forgot about, but Jesus says, don't tell anybody till after I die. And after I'm raised from the dead, then you can tell everybody. But this is something for you, Peter. Whoa, how many of you want to have an experience like that? Yeah, me too. But I think we've all had our own encounters with Jesus, and they're very special and life-changing to us. And yeah, Peter was very human. He, think about it, he denied Christ 3 times. He swore, he ran away when things got tough. He was a chicken, he was a coward, like a lot of us have been at times. Very human, but yet Peter's saying we can become partakers of the divine nature by believing the word of God. And Peter did, because Jesus told him, the word of God said, wait here in Jerusalem, because I'm going to send the gift of the Father. And after many days, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and power. And guess what? Acts chapter 2, Peter came out and preached the word of God boldly, and 3,000 people were saved. This same Peter. And yes, like was mentioned today in Acts chapter 3, met the crippled man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. And he took the crippled man and lifted him up, and he ran around the temple, and many other people were healed. And Peter became courageous, so much so they threw him in prison. They didn't know what to do with him. He was so bold because he was partaking of a divine nature in knowing Jesus. Who are these people? They're fishermen. They're not even learned, but they've been with Jesus. That was the indictment. How many of you want to be guilty of that? You've been with Jesus. And when you've been with Jesus, things can happen. Miracles can happen. Now, if that doesn't blow your mind, Acts chapter 5 will. It says that they took many sick and afflicted and demon-possessed and laid them in the street, hoping that Jesus, that Peter would walk by because his cloud would heal them. Same word, episkiazo. So somehow, the same cloud that he saw Jesus in and they were in on the mountain came upon Peter, and it says when he walked around, the cloud would heal people. How many want that? I mean, I believe in these days we're going to see new levels of glory where believers like you and me are going to be walking around in Walmart and a cloud is going to start healing people. People are going to be drawn to you and you're going to lay hands upon the sick and they're going to recover. People are going to see Jesus in you. Give the Lord a hand. Isn't that an awesome thing? Let's believe for that. Well, in trying to wrap this up, land the plane today, I want to share about how Jesus revealed himself to me, because that's very real to me. And 1972, I was one of these hippie dudes like Pastor Tom, although he claims not to be a hippie. I don't know how you could not claim to be a hippie, but anyways, we were all searching for truth, you know. We were on our journeys, right? And I grew up in church, but then I actually forsook church because it just wasn't doing it for me. You know, I had a death experience. I had no assurance of going to heaven. I had no idea. I tried to be as good a person as I could be. But when I went down in that canoeing accident, I was wondering, is 85% good enough? Maybe 90%. Maybe I'm going to miss it by 5%. That would be an awful thing. And so I just kind of gave up Christianity, started looking into Eastern religions, going through all the ones that I could think of, and still searching for truth, searching for the real deal, not seeming to find, you know, anything. I kind of I love Cat Stevens. He was my favorite guitarist, and I took on his philosophy. He basically said that Buddha, Muhammad, Hare Krishna, and Jesus were the same person reincarnated at different times. And I said, that sounds good to me. Like, that's good. I'm going to go with that. So, you know, I just said, I'm going to be the best hippie I can possibly be. I was studying forestry. I got my degree in forestry, and I was a true tree hugger. I love trees more than people at that point. And was trying to find God in nature and everything. And I met a Jesus freak at the University of Maine, and he was talking about Jesus being the only way and the way to heaven, and which bothered me because, wow, that sounds really kind of arrogant, sort of, you know, have a claim like that. And so anyways, I did my favorite thing. I climbed a tree, talking to God. I'm saying, you know, God, you know, what are you going to do about the Hindus in India? What are you going to do about the Africans or the Native Americans that have never heard about Jesus? What are you going to do about that? And as a matter of fact, I don't even know if you really know me or care for me. You got to show me something. You got to prove yourself, you know. And a few moments later, a red-tailed hawk came and flew around my head and looked in my eyes. And God was saying, I do see you. I do care for you. And that is, to this day, it gives me a lot of clout with Native Americans. Like, eagles and hawks, they know me, and they talk to me. And I still, God talks to me through them. But I was asking that question, God, are you real? And Jesus, are you the one, you know? And so then I went to InterVarsity Christian Fellowship on campus, and I asked the head honcho, is Jesus the only one, or is there other gurus? And he just said, well, I'm just going to tell you what Jesus said about himself. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And I got really mad and stormed out. And but he also said to me, you know, Jesus claimed to be God. He's the only human being that ever did. And he's either a liar, which makes him a bad sinner, or a lunatic, meaning he's crazy, we should just disregard everything he said, or he's actually Lord of the universe. And I said, wow, that leaves me with three choices. And so I really said, okay, I'm still testing this out. So I just want you to know that God loves us so much, he'll put up with any of our crazy ideas to prove himself to you. So at that time, I was really wanting a girlfriend, and there was a commercial on TV. It said, if you smoke Eric cigars, a Scandinavian blonde will show up out of the woods. And so I said, God, if you're real, you're going to do this for me. I'm telling you, God puts up with our foolishness sometimes. Well, the crazy thing about it was, a few months later, I'm riding a motorcycle in the middle of the woods, and here's two Scandinavian blondes picking blueberries. The mom had just gotten saved, and the daughter I stopped and got to meet, and she took me to a Catholic convent where three nuns had gotten saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I gave my heart to Jesus at that meeting. So don't tell me that Jesus won't put up with our foolish ideas, because he does. He loves us that much. He looks beyond our faults to see our needs and sees our hearts just to prove himself to us. He's always been there for us. Even as a little child, he watches over us and brings us and loves us and woos us in to the point where he reveals himself to us when we're ready to see that. And he did that for me. And so anyways, I gave my heart to Christ at that convent that night, just said, Jesus, come into my heart. And that week I had an open vision. And I, as a Methodist, you don't have the open visions. But I had an open vision of Jesus and I walking around heaven together. And I've never forgotten it. I mean, it's like, it became very real to me. And So anyways, a few months later, I went up in the tree again. And this time, God's talking to me. I'm not like talking to him. He's like talking to me. Rich, I'm so glad you got it. I'm so glad that you love me and that now you know me. And he says, are you still upset about that stuff? You know, India, Africa, Native Americans. I said, yeah, I still am. He says, guess what? You're going to India, you're going to Africa, you're going to Native reservations. And guess what? We saw 40,000 Hindus saved in India in 1992. I got to go all over Zimbabwe and preach the gospel to people who had never heard the gospel before. And in 1990, went to a place up in Canada, Big Cove, with the Mi'kmaq, and where 10 teenagers had committed suicide. And we did several projects over 5 years, and there was no more suicides after we preached the gospel there. So God will take you up on your prayers. If you really desire to see the world changed, to see people's lives touched, guess what? He's going to touch your life, and then he's going to use you to touch other people's lives. He's going to make you the answer to your own prayers. Think about that one for a minute. Phew. So let's all stand together. I believe today Jesus is revealing himself to somebody here in a new way like you've never had before. This is your day. You know, Larry Norman wrote a song and it was all about, some say he was a poet because he stood upon the hill and he said amazing things. Some say he was a magician because he did tricks with fish and bread, raised people from the dead. Some say he was a politician because the masses followed him on the Sea of Galilee. But some say he was God, and that's who I believe he is. Because he's come to me like that. I believe Jesus is revealing himself today in a new way. You're going to see him in a new way. You're going to hear him because he's calling your name today. He's calling out your name. Woo. He's inviting you and he's saying, I love you. Come follow me. Come test me and see if I don't really care, if I'll not reveal yourself to you. I'm not endorsing smoking Eric cigars. But I believe that you will, if you ask him to come, he will come and prove yourself to him. And guess what? We don't have to be just human. We can join him in his glory, in his presence, in his power, in his life. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you're just not a transcendent force of Star Wars, but that you actually became a human being. You walked this earth for 33 years. You died for our sins, and then to prove that you were God, you raised from the dead on the third day. And you appeared to over 500 people. You appeared to your followers, and you spoke to many things to them. So much so that Peter was so convinced that he went to his death preaching you and saying, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Please, please crucify me upside down. I believe he saw something. I believe he saw the one. So Lord, reveal yourself today to us in a greater way, even today. And if there's someone here today that feels your presence, that hears your voice calling their name today, God, come into their heart. Lord, we just pray this prayer with them today. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself to me today. Thank you for calling my name. Lord, I give you my life. Forgive my sins. Come into my heart. Change my life. And Lord, let me never be the same. I don't want to be just human anymore. I want to have God with me every day. and hearing your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, well, I trust that somebody did that here today. If you ask Jesus in, it's really important that you tell somebody. Tell me afterwards, tell Pastor Hannah, because we just want to celebrate, because you'll never be the same. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.